Thank you. Be seated. We have a unique situation this morning in the case that's going to be argued, and that is that the attorney for the appellant has not, it's not here. So we'll give you the opportunity to make an argument if you wish, or you may decide not to make an argument, but it's up to you.
Your Honor, I think what I would like to do, I don't want to just argue to argue, especially when I don't have anything to rebut today.
Exactly.
But if you all have questions or concerns about a specific issue, I would like
the opportunity to address that.
Yes.
Do you have any questions that you wanted to ask?
I actually had one.
Okay, ask away. Oh, before we get started then, let's call the case.
May it please the court. The court called Granberry SNF LLC versus Natalie Jackson. Cause number 02-24-248-CV.
Thank you. For the record, this is, we've got the attorney for the appellee present in the courtroom, but the attorney for the appellant is not present, nor has called in, nor has indicated in any way why they are not here today. So it's my understanding that members of the panel have questions, and so we'll open it up to questions, and if you want also to make a statement, you can do that as well. So you may, you want to approach the podium, please.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chief Justice.
And go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, one question I had is, could you tell me what the clear and convincing evidence is that you have to support punitive damages against Granberry GS that's in the record?
Sure. So there's no, as to Granberry GS, the that is her, that is Natalie Jackson, the social worker's employer. And so there's no dispute that Granberry GS had no one on site at the skilled nursing facility to supervise, to manage the employees, to suspend the employees, to fire the employees. All of that was handled by AHS and the Granberry SNF, Kevin Wilmoth, who ran the facility, and Sherry McCaskey, who was regional director of operations over that facility. And so the clear and convincing evidence to support punitives against the GS is through vice principals. In other words, if we look at the jury charge, part of it is looking at a company that has confided to an individual or other company the management of the whole or a department or division of its business. And the word confide just means, for example, this is out of the dictionary, to give to the care or protection of another. For example, as used in a sentence, it says, do not confide your children to strangers. And so the way the operations worked here, all of the things concerning employee discipline, termination, whether they're retaliated against, were confided in these other two entities.
And where in the record is that? Through whose testimony is that?
So the testimony, there is what, I guess if I could explain what there is and what there is not. There is no agreement, you know, there's no contract, at least that I know of, and certainly not in the record, that would say Granberry GS is, you know, here's the agreement, you control the employees. That is just how the evidence came out at trial. So as one example, Natalie testified that her only supervisors while she was working at the skilled nursing facility, those whose lawful orders she had to follow while she was at Granberry Villa were Kevin Wilmoth, the facility administrator, and it's undisputed he was an employee of Granberry SNF, which stands for Skilled Nursing Facility, it owns the DBA. Also Karen Morton, the director of nurses, and although she was not we didn't claim she was the one who fired or suspended. That's just another supervisor. And the only other supervisor she had was Sherry McCaskey with AHS, the regional director of operations. And so all of the conduct that they engaged in that shows malice, we knew it was illegal to do this and we did it anyway. Or the malice claiming Natalie Jackson falsified all of the abuse reports. Or when those people acted and decide to falsely brand her, Natalie Jackson, a racist, all of that is evidence that goes to her employer's liability, which is the GS.
Well, it's in looking through the corporate policies, the corporate job descriptions, it struck me, and tell me if I missed something, but there's always references to the company. Mm-hmm. The company. I saw no definition of who the company is. Did I miss that in the record?
No, I agree with you.
And so if you look at a number of the documents in the record, the corporate documents, they talk about service area and they talk about Granberry, but they don't talk about anything as a separate company. So it would appear that their policies and their procedures and their documentation, as well as their conduct, appears that they operated all these things basically as one company. Am I missing something?
No, I agree with you. That is how the handbook reads. I mean, it was frustrating to us.
Except
but
in the arbitration agreements. Now, they're separate. Oh,
they've got. Yes, Justice Walk, they have got the arbitration down agreements down specifically. But yes, they all say the company. They, for example, some of the documents will say insert name of facility, insert name of employee. So yes, when we talk about Granberry GS, we know it was her employer. It had to have fired her. It stopped paying her. It stopped paying her on the suspension. And when you look at what the jury was charged on vice principal, even without an agreement, a formal agreement, which would probably make life easier for all of us, but it's not there, it shows that, in fact, the way things played out there was that the Granberry GS, who had no independent presence other than the employees it supplied to the facility, entrusted or confided the discipline, care, termination of its employees to AHS and to the SNF. And part of the statute, that may help some. It applies, technically you could call this an unlawful employment practices case, but it's not a traditional employee-employer statute. And so it talks about, for example, an employee is a person who's an employee of a facility or anyone who provides services for a facility for pay, including independent contractors. So that's so broad that even AHS, even the GS, Granberry SNF are all technically also employees. There are people providing services here. And then as far as the definition of a facility, the statute, and there's no challenge to whether these are proper defendants. I just think it helps understand kind of how these facilities operate. And so, like, by analogy, before getting more to the definition, there's a company that provides laundry at this place. There's a company that provides the food. There's a company that owns the business personal property. There's a company that owns the land. There's a company that owns the DBA. That's kind of the global circle of who is a part of this facility. And then under the statute, as far as who we sue only those who are within that circle who were involved in the adverse action, the suspension and termination. But for facility itself, facility is defined in the statute to mean an institution as defined in a different statute, and that's section 260A.001. And then the different statute it refers to is Health and Safety Code 242.002. And it defines an institution to mean an establishment, which could be, you know, more like, could be composed of more than one person or entity. And it's just an establishment that furnishes in one or more facilities certain food and shelter and services that meet some need beyond basic provision of food. And so the overall structure and the way we pleaded this case is that the facility is essentially a lot of, here they are mostly related entities, but there are a lot of entities that together operate the establishment or the institution that is the Granberry Villa. Now, Justice Womack, that was a long way around this, but I think what I was trying to say is there is no express agreement that I can show you. There is no express contract. It is just that the evidence as it came out in trial shows that the employer had to have entrusted or confided, as we say, the management, the discipline, the suspension of its employees working at Granberry Villa to AHS and Granberry SNF, because that is what in fact happened. And that's why in the briefing we say the absence of any GS person on site, that no one's met them, is kind of the point. There is no one else there to act on behalf of the GS. It's only through AHS and the SNF.
Any other questions?
On the conditional attorney's fees.
Yes, Sean.
I see in the record where you established the number of hours that would be that you expected to
expend,
thank you, in terms of the conditional, the appellate work. But I didn't see anything where anyone explained what that work is and why it's necessary. Did I miss that?
No, it's true. That was not broken down by like so much for oral argument or so much for prep for oral argument, but the cases we cite essentially say we all know what happens on appeal. There's going to be some briefing, there may be oral argument, there may be motion for rehearing or things of that nature.
But without that, isn't it conclusory?
No, not for conditional appellate fees. I might agree with you if our trial entries were like that, but the cases we cite on conditional appellate fees have far less evidence than we put on, and courts have found that sufficient. In other words, as far as the evidence we did put on is more than Texas courts have found to be enough for conditional appellate fees. But given the amount of time it's taken, if the court wants to, I mean, we do conditional appellate attorney's fees because we have to, because the Texas Supreme Court says we have to, and we've got to estimate some amount. And the cases on those estimations have far less information compared to the evidence that we put on at the bench trial. But if you have any concerns about it, I would say send us back to do the actuals, because I'm pretty confident it's going to be more than 215 hours at the end of the day. But I agree, it's necessarily something we can't predict everything that's going to happen. We just have to make an estimate. We made the best estimate. Had appellate specialists testify and consulted with them on generally how much time it takes after a jury trial of this length.
Any other questions?
We thank you for being here. I'm going to note for the record that it is now 9:23, and the attorney for the appellant is still not here, but we appreciate the information you've given us, the answers to the questions that we've had, and the case is now submitted, and you're free to go on your way. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
All right.